to me, it's easier to use the tablet.
One, two, one, two. One, two, one, two.
Okay, it says I'm connected.
You can use the
remote. Awesome.
It says no, you pick the channel, but you want to see what's on the channel.
Oh,
that's what I was shooting for. Yeah, I think that we're going to find out. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I do the.
I'll show him how to do the favorites.
And it shows me your work.
Because you can do the star the favorites that you want.
History channel, animal planet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have a little star on the thing that wants to become blue. You can save all the channels.
What
you watch
I can turn the flash on. Play music.
Yeah. They have a TV guide.
Put up with the
here we go.
Rasmus, I don't know what they do, but they have a TV guide. You can and I have all the channels.
Thank you.
And then I went through all the channels with a highlighter that we watched.
All I wanted.
That's before
was
we got a TV guide.
Yeah, hello and goodbye.
And now they change the channels around. So
but
that's going. This is going.
Oh, down here I.
And
well, when you're on the road.
Oh, what am I missing?
I risk my
you never try.
It doesn't matter. As long as
if you can wipe the car.
You can do that, too. That's what we did
sorry.
Before.
Go visit you.
So,
where are you going to stay in the States?
You know, if you have any problems, download the TV guide on your playlist, you know, Play Store.
The funny thing is, in the States, I have a son who lives in
Alabama.
He's
like, if you have any problems with getting to all this,
hey, okay.
You at least you'll have a
job. Don't you have two bedrooms? So, I mean,
he has two bedrooms.
Oh, okay.
Why? One of them is an office, and there's nothing in it. So.
Right. Just most people usually have their tablet like sat right there by their TV. You know, by where you sit to watch
the
TV.
Yeah, he's old enough.
I'm one of these things plays and watches.
I lost that's power over there about 40 years ago.
Testing one, two, testing one, two.
Good morning, Irving.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
This is exciting. Okay. Well, I hope
so,
this is working.
I have a problem and I'm in Baja.
Testing, one, two, testing.
Yeah, you're going to take it with you?
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm going to lock it on to Mexico so it'll be fine.
Can I use it in the States?
If you take it to the States, you're going to have to change the country to the U.S.
One, two, one, two.
We won't have to.
I think we're ready.
Use it in the States because
I think we're ready.
Yeah. If you decide you're going to take it to the States, you have to tell me.
It is 9:15. I got to hit the streaming button.
I just had to change Rosemary and Jerry's.
I don't care about it saving. Go.
I'll just email you. But
it's
we won't
just
know.
Okay. Streaming.
Margarita.
Security.
Okay. And.
What about Ray?
Kill
muchas
that.
Gracias, Ray.
You bought breakfast?
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh,
gracias.
Thank you for.
Thank you.
That's what
all right. Hopefully.
Thanks, Maggie.
Well, thank you.
Hopefully everything's working. I thought it was all working after I reconfigured everything last week. And then I get here today, and it's all working, and then we get three devices connected, and it's just not working. It's sort of working over here and sort of working over here, but in general it was just sort of working everywhere. So what I just did is I replaced the Wi-Fi extender with an actual router that's sitting at the end of this link that goes to the office. So this is a whole new network by itself, but it's got the same name and password as before. So hopefully this will resolve our problems. That's what I hope. But I should introduce us. We are the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and I thank you guys for joining me and being here and being interested in technology in general to give me a reason to keep studying and keep learning and keep helping people with this kind of stuff. I have come with a couple of topics, but I'm happy to answer any questions that I can right off the bat.
Is it tequila-bar?
Yeah. It is. And one of the weird experiences...
What's the password again? Which password?
It's tequila's.
Oh, okay.
And one of the strange experiences we had with the Wi-Fi access point this morning was, even though it was set up with the same user, the same SSID, the same network name, and the same password, none of our devices would connect to it until we put that stuff in again. Which is not the way that stuff works, which makes me even more convinced that there's a problem with the Wi-Fi extender. So this is a router that I've used in the past that I just happened to have in the car from last week. But I hope everybody's getting connected to it, and you'll let me know if anything's not working so we can be aware of it. And I'm
Local
still, I guess I'm still trying.
Live news thanks to ABC, Cheddar, and other partners.
Oh, now you've just brought up one of the topics I brought.
I'm sorry.
No, that's great. Have you had a chance to read it?
No, I just clicked on it.
I thought that we might be interested in this. The Roku has been in negotiations with live news services. And so if you have a Roku, you're probably aware that there is a Roku channel.
No, right. Where is it?
No, it should be right in the main menu. Mm-hmm. And what they're working on right now, what it's been used in the past, it's supposed to be TV and video and ad sponsored. And so Roku's goal is to be their own type of Hulu, where they go out and they license content to show through that. What do you call it? The Roku channel. What did they call it, though? It's some kind of service selection. A selection is what I heard it referred to as. A selection, and the reason I got caught up on the distinction, when you think of a Roku channel, you kind of think about going into one particular type of content, one provider, whereas a selection makes me think that you might go into a submenu that would give you different experiences within that one channel. And so they've worked out a deal with ABC and Cheddar and some other partners to bring live news to Roku. And if you've used Roku before, ABC has their own app, but apparently it only works if you are entitled to it. And they use means like signing into a Comcast account or a DirecTV account.
That's what I do.
Yeah, to give you access to ABC News on the Roku. So what this would be is this would be apart from that. It would be a live feed that wouldn't be the same live feed that you might get as a premium subscriber, but it would be available to any Roku device holder. So if you had a TV that's run in Roku, or you had a Roku device that's plugged into your TV, then you would have access to this free content.
I go to the Roku channel down here, it won't load anything.
And it probably won't work for us being in Mexico.
All that and then.
I've gotten a bunch
Sorry
of stuff,
if I cut your
nothing great.
No, I appreciate that, Ed, because that's absolutely, I mean, why wouldn't it not work? We're in Mexico.
And I'm using the DNS.
Smart DNS?
Yeah.
And that won't work with it either?
Well, I can get ABC through Dish with the DNS. I can get live TV with that through the ABC app on Roku. I can get NBC streaming content, but I can't get NBC live. It won't get.
Oh, wait, so you can get, like, the shows that NBC puts up, but you can't get their live feed. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it works on I get live on ABC with the show content, too.
Well, that's good to know. So Smart DNS is letting you use your Roku with those channels. Were you familiar with that, Meg?
I tried.
That's interesting, because I think that's the big hurdle with a lot of the stuff we're doing down here is the live, and mostly live news. I think that's what most people are interested in, is being able to have CNN or Fox or MSNBC just in the background.
Google does something different too, because you used to be able to go to Fox News live on Google and get a live full screen video, but now you get a split screen with a little live.
Oh, that's what you were saying, is that through
I have to figure out how to fix that yet.
Through YouTube.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've mentioned before that the CBS app allows live. So if you're looking for CBS news, you can download that app and watch live. No. No, or at least so far you haven't had to pay for it.
Every time I tried, it says join all access.
All access.
Well, maybe they're doing something similar as Roku's planning on doing. Maybe they're they've got a live feed that is the channel CBS, and you pay for that as of all access. But the CBS News Live has been available through their app, at least on Windows. On Windows 10, they have an app. I know because we use it periodically.
I've only got 2 more weeks. I'm not going to get too excited for next year.
Oh, and on that note, I'm here until the end of May, and then I'm gone.
When do you come back in the fall?
I'll come back. We should plan on the first Tuesday of October.
First Tuesday.
For returning. Or like my disclaimer is you guys are welcome to meet. I just won't be here.
We're going to get a live stream. We're going to put TV up here.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need a big screen that we can present things on.
Or that we can show how all this stuff works.
Right.
Yeah, show us how all this stuff works.
Okay. We were having a little discussion out there before I came in. Okay, did any of you do the update on Windows 10 last week?
I might have done it automatically.
Okay. Your mouse,
mm-hmm.
your wireless mouse,
okay.
they continue to scroll. So I went into Logitech to find out why. It told me to download a new set point. Then I did that. Then I went in and I...
Oh, yeah, set a new system restore point before doing anything.
No, set point for... the Logitech mouse.
That's the name of the software?
Yeah.
Okay.
In Logitech. But it didn't work. It's still scrolling. So those guys out front were just telling me that that powering off doesn't fix adapters. You have to do a restart on Windows to fix the adapters. If you do a power off to fix the adapters, he said, it retains the same thing you had. I was powering off thinking, well, if I power off and leave it off for a few minutes, it would regenerate itself. But the other person just said you needed to go into the device manager, find the graphics card, update the driver on the graphics card. But that I don't know if that's going to help the mouse. All my mouse, both my husband's and mine, they just keep scrolling.
My mouse screwed up too, but it's the right click.
It's the right click.
It's the right click.
The right click is malfunctioned.
Well,
as far as I know, all my systems are up to date. I didn't have any problems.
If you try to
and I've got Logitech mice.
Okay, so every time you go to something, it's scrolling, and you have to take the mouse and move it in and click on it to get it to stop.
So you do the scroll, and it won't stop.
It won't stop.
It's just perpetual. And you're having the same problem, Matt?
Mine's been doing that forever.
No, that sounds right. Yours would go to the bottom of the page.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what Linda's reporting.
Pre-scrolling, you can't get it to stop. It just wants over to the right. It just keeps... rolling, well, and then what happens is you have to move the cursor inside, click to stop it. But then when you go over to something to, like, highlight it...
Okay, I'm missing...
After you highlight, you have to click on the stop again in order to be able to right-click it and copy it or...
Now that problem I haven't had.
So that's what it's doing. And I went online, and apparently there's a problem. On the last update... they apparently had people where their mouse and their keyboards completely froze up, and you had to go to Microsoft. They have a go to Microsoft at a certain place, and it was supposedly going to help you. Mine didn't do that on the last one, but now it's just free scrolls all the time.
And it never stops.
I don't know anything on this issue. I have not had this experience at all.
Both our computers are doing it.
Mine scroll all the way to the bottom.
I'm going to have to do some research on it and see what the suggestions are.
But once it does that, it works just fine.
I got mine fixed somehow or another by changing to one line at a time?
I did do that.
Hey, what about just pulling out the Logitech driver for the mouse? Just pull it out and let Microsoft
find it again?
Well, at this moment, I wouldn't even worry about the Logitech driver. I'd just pull it out because Microsoft is going to stick in a generic driver.
What's that other thing they've stuck in with the red... go into Device Manager.
But do you hear what I'm saying? Is that like a mouse is a very common input
just
device.
Go in
all
and
the operating systems. Yeah, just go into the Device Manager and delete it. And then restart your computer, or if you can use the keyboard,
again,
you
right?
can just let it find it again. And it should set up with a Microsoft Windows standard, like PS2 mouse or HIB or HID.
Well, it has that in the settings, too.
What do you mean?
The PS2 in like a little box underneath the settings, which had never seen any of this before since all of a sudden this thing came up.
Well, the point being that Microsoft will put its own driver in if it doesn't have a driver for it. And so just refine
the
driver.
Just take the Logitech totally out.
The mouse is going to work in its most rudimentary functions without the Logitech software. If you take out everything Logitech, the mouse is still going to work. Maybe what might happen is you'll lose the ability to scroll altogether, but you'll be one step closer to solving the problem. Maybe after it's working in a rudimentary fashion, then reinstall the Logitech software. Or if you bring it back to just the basic Windows driver, you might find that's working just fine. It might be that this is all speculation because I haven't run across this problem since the most recent update. So you might be having some very specific update problems that can't be fixed by any of this. But the mouse in general, this is how it functions. Every operating system that has the potential for a mouse, every modern operating system, will recognize a Microsoft mouse and a Logitech mouse. Without you having to install any software at all.
Any drivers.
Yeah, any drivers at all.
I'm going to do that. My right click on my mouse was the problem, a Logitech mouse. And I tried to go back before this last update, and I bet I've tried it 15 times, and I've every time it tells me it won't go back to restore because
like
my antivirus is running. But my antivirus isn't running. I shut off Defender. I shut everything off. And it still won't go back and restore.
Well, actually...
Boy, that rings a bell.
Every time I go in there, it's on the middle. And maybe that's the problem, because the middle is that scroll wheel. It won't go back to the left side, to the left click. Maybe that's what it is. Same thing. Every time I go in there... So I'm going to take it out completely tonight and see if that works.
We'll try that this afternoon.
Yeah. Chester, I'm going to make a note of what you were just describing because that sure sounds familiar. I'm trying to remember it. It seems like that is an issue. Using Restore with Microsoft's Defender, I think there's some...
But I went to all the Defender and put off on everything, about 10 of them.
I wonder if that indicates that there is another piece of antivirus software in your computer.
Where is it?
Yeah.
I can't find it.
Could there be a...
The ones that...
McAfee in there that you don't know about that never cleared? Because
that's
McAfee, if it gets in there, like with CCleaner, if McAfee gets in there, you can't get it out.
Maybe it's CCleaner.
Well, it's hard to imagine it's CCleaner.
It's hard to imagine, but CCleaner has been putting in McAfee.
I don't think I've installed CCleaner. I haven't, but I don't think
I'm trying to do a quick search on this to see if anything just pops out. Because what you're describing, Defender prevents system restore solved. That's the kind of title I like.
That was that other one. Remember when they messed up with the update? It was about 6 months ago or something.
Well,
you had to take everything totally out, huh?
I spent half a day trying to do it.
I know. Cross-coding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Dave just told me to go into settings, power, and go to advanced. And he said to put in there, you can put in there, he found that you can put in there, no, don't power off. By powering off, he says, it isn't changing the adapter settings. And maybe that's the problem with the Logitech. When you power off and wait, thinking it's going to take off the memory out of the, like it used to tell you to do, power off, wait a couple minutes, it'll erase all the memory.
Chester,
and then go back.
For your system restore issue, there is a suggestion that worked that says, turn off app and browser control at the time you're trying to do it.
Turn off
app and browser control? What's that?
It's located in Defender's Security Center. I'm looking for it right now.
Well, I went to the Defender app.
So if you go to the Defender app, there's four along the top. The last one is app and browser control. And they're saying turn that off. I see three off buttons. So I guess I would turn every one of them to off and try and do the system restore after that.
Okay, but if you go down on all three of them, if you go down there, one of them has four or five offs.
Yeah.
I turn them all off, and it still wouldn't restore.
Well, the one that they say matters is this last one in Defender, this app and browser control.
App and browser
control. So I would specifically make sure those are off when you're trying to turn everything off.
If it's the one on the bottom at the right, I hate it all.
Okay, this is the one at the top on the right.
Do you get through with all this stuff?
If your screen looks the same, that's right.
This stuff happens and you try to go figure it out and you spend a whole day trying to figure it out and nobody says
buy a new mouse.
I spent at least a day.
Buy a new mouse. Well, that's still not going to help.
Oh, I bet it does.
Well,
I took the batteries out of the mouse and
no,
let
no,
it
no.
sit.
Buy a new mouse.
Why?
Are you feeding your mouse?
Yeah.
It's a lot of rodents around that computer.
I know how to fix the problem. Get a Macintosh.
Yeah. Well, unless you want to run Windows 10 at this point.
I got a Macintosh problem.
Right. That still hasn't gotten resolved. Well, I would hope that buying a new Microsoft mouse would fix the problem.
That's what I think it
would. I would hope.
No, I'm going to try what you said and take everything out and let it find itself again.
Yeah? Yeah.
See what happens. And just become a Microsoft compliant mouse.
Who knows what they do at night.
Right, because that may just resolve the issue.
Could there be a conflict between the Lenovo mouse and the Logitech mouse?
Well,
the Lenovo mount, you mean on the computer itself?
On the laptop.
On the laptop?
There shouldn't be. It should identify and recognize those as different devices.
Well, they all of a sudden put in this new program in there. Now I can't think of it without looking at it. It's all in red, and it says E-something. And I didn't know if that was what was...
You're talking about in the device manager there's this stuff?
Go in device manager and bring up the mouse.
Device manager.
I don't have my tablet with me, so...
Of course, I right-click on device manager and it flips over to nothing.
It flips over
the mouse is affecting that, too.
No, all I've got is my touchpad.
Okay, so all you got is your touchpad?
Yeah.
Okay,
Asus
so I'm just going to go take everything out, and I'll take out all the Logitech out of the programs. Yeah.
The mouse is a really safe thing to remove all the drivers from, because in the worst-case scenario, you turn off the computer, turn it back on, and it rediscovers all that.
So go into add remove programs and take all the Logitech out first.
Well,
go into the device
if you think
manager.
It's specifically a Logitech problem, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. And then you know you've gotten rid of all anything old Logitech. And
yeah,
if you need,
you said take the driver out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can with actually, if it's a Microsoft mouse and you've put the Microsoft software in, it's the same thing as the Logitech mouse if you put the Logitech software in.
So take
if
it
you
all
add and remove software, it'll take it out.
I didn't put in Logitech software.
If you haven't put in any software, now we're talking about your laptop.
Yeah, Lenovo.
Yeah, you might. What you're? Are you talking about your touchpad?
No, I'm talking about the external mouse.
So that you added with no extra software. Mm-hmm. So you'd go into the device manager, and you'd look for mouse, and then you'd remove the driver from there.
Okay, got it.
That would
disable it.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't disable it because then it's not going to work until you enable it again. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to prompt the computer to reinstall the mouse driver.
Okay.
And in a perfect world, it's going to be a different mouse driver because that was the problem, is you've gotten stuck on some old mouse driver.
Oh, okay. It should say in the bottom right-hand corner, new hardware found.
When it comes back on or whenever you're doing that plug-and-play search, it should identify it again and tell you it's found software.
Okay.
So it's amazing how archaic this stuff is in Windows. When you go to something like a Macintosh or a Linux computer, you plug it in and it's ready to go. There isn't this big like show going on of finding the device and installing the software and making sure that it just works. You just plug it in and it works, or it doesn't work. But there's not this wait. It's installing software. Is it installing the right software? It just works.
my cursor stalls, and now you have to do a Control Alt Delete to get the task manager come up. And when the task manager comes up, it starts moving again. So I just cancel the task manager, and it's working.
You know, when I've experienced those kinds of behaviors from the mouse, it's typically not mouse related, and in my experience, it's ended up being hard drive problems.
That's what I think I got. My computer all of a sudden was really slow.
I would do a scan disk on it and do an error check on it. If you have some low level tools, even the BIOS of computers many times has a hard drive check on it. It's non-destructive, and what it does is it puts it through its paces. And the beauty of hard drives as we know them now is that if it comes across a problem, the hard drive in itself, in the box that we call a hard drive, it's got the logic to go, that's really hard to read from. It's been too hard to read for a number of times, and pick up the data from that spot and move it over to a spot that's easier to read from. And then it'll use that new spot as the place to read from in the future. So forcing it to go through a diagnostics check will prompt that kind of behavior. It will also take forever if there's a problem. And so if you're running, you go into your BIOS and it's got check hard drive, do the hard drive check. If it takes forever, you know you're on the right track, because it will take forever if you're having problems. And if it has no problems, one of those diagnostics, it does depend on how big your hard drive is, but 20 minutes is not an unusual amount of time to wait for a healthy hard drive to get through one of those checks. And 4 to 8 hours isn't an unusual amount of time for it to take to get through a hard drive that's having problems. Most of the diagnostics that come with a computer will give you a failure notice if it starts having that kind of problem. It may not even go 8 hours. It may just say imminent failure, you need to change this hard drive, and stop very early. I like to think of them as worn out. It's a spinning disk, I'm assuming we're talking about. And I like to think of them as wearing out. They don't necessarily stop working. They just slow down in their working.
Like they got dirty or something.
And create. Do you have Lenovo? Oh, because they have a diagnostic, and when my hard drive went, it came right up.
I ran
the diagnostics that there was something wrong with it.
Here's another thing I noticed: my NTI Easy Backup for my external hard drive, it won't pick up my D drive. It'll copy the C drive, but it won't copy the D drive or update the D drive.
Hmm. This is your backup drive?
Yeah, my Toshiba external hard drive that I use, like I say, I use NTI backup easy or easy backup.
But it doesn't see the other drive. It
doesn't see D.
Huh.
And I reformatted the disk.
You sure you're using the right formats for that software? The
It worked before.
It worked before? Okay, well, that's a good sign. As long as you haven't changed anything, you'd expect it to work again. I just recently changed the memory card in my phone. I went from a 64-gigabyte card to a 128-gigabyte card. Mine's an Android phone, and what I first attempted to do, which I would expect any of you to attempt to do if you were going to do this same thing, is I stuck the two cards in a computer and I moved everything from one card to the other card. I just copied it right over. Stuck it into my phone, turned it on. Every one of my photos looks like it was taken today. Well, I mean, that's a real first world white guy problem to have. But it's still annoying. I am a computer guy. I rely on my photos to be when I took them. And so it was actually a problem I needed to solve. And so what I ended up doing is I ended up using a piece of software called Partition Wizard to copy the partition of the card to another card, something I wouldn't expect any of you to do anything except ask me to help you figure out why this isn't working the way you expect it to work. And Partition Wizard is really nice because it takes all the characteristics of the previous drive and sticks it on the new drive. In this case, it was also the size of the partition. So though I took the new card and I stuck it in my phone and all my pictures were exactly at the time stamps I expected, it still was suffering from space. I only had a gigabyte left because half the card wasn't being recognized as being available. So then the game I got on was, well, I just want to make it bigger because I got all this space over here. Why can't I just stretch this, which is a very intuitive concept to go, I've stuck it in a bigger bag, why can't I take advantage of the whole bag? And apparently the format of these cards is typically a FAT format, an EX FAT format, and my Partition Wizard program and the Windows partition program and the Macintosh partition program won't allow you to grow or shrink this particular style of partition. Whereas the other partitions, the other formats that you might have in your computer, you have the ability to do this intuitive nature of increasing the size because there's extra space not being used. This particular file format, they didn't care to promote with any tool to increase it. So this is a subtle plug for a piece of software I found called Partition Guru, which looked at it and said, well, of course you can, and moved it and hit a button and increase the space of the drive. And I bring you back to your situation with not being able to. I would double check to make sure that your format is within the formats that your software will support, because that was exactly the problem with trying to make this partition bigger, is that Partition Wizard, Windows, Macintosh did not allow me to change the size of it because of the format that I have. And on an Android phone, you don't have another format you're going to use. You're going to if you're going to stick a card in your Android, you're going to use the FAT format.
Why couldn't you just move the photos to your computer?
Well, they are on my computer. But at the same time, when you've got 64 gigabytes of media on your device,
they stay on your device.
They stay on your device, and the idea of trying to decide what's not important in a whim isn't doable. From some, I'm a data hoarder.
I tried to fix somebody's cell phone Thursday. Well, it turns out she bought the cell phone. Somebody talked her into buying it. It turns out it's only a 4.4.
Oh, Android 4.4.
Right. She's out of room now. She has too many pictures. I told her she needs to go in there and get the pictures out of there. But that isn't what my point is. I help somebody else with their phone. If you've got a lot of pictures on your phone, you should get them off. First of all, she dropped the phone. She just went to
the canyon, Copper Canyon. She dropped the phone, got wet.
No.
We tried to dry it.
In the microwave.
That's awesome.
We tried to dry it. We tried to recharge the battery. And
the
phone doesn't work. And all of her pictures are on the phone. And
oh, they're on the phone. They're not on the SD card?
She didn't have an SD card in there.
Oh, okay.
And so they're on the phone.
Well, I wouldn't give up drying it.
A lot of people think that the card you get, this is the problem. A lot of people think the card you're getting from the phone company that only has your phone number and your card thing and everything, that doesn't, isn't a...
It's not a memory
it's
card,
It's not
right?
a memory it's a, card. Right. And they don't go buy another memory card and stick it in the phone. Although some of the really inexpensive phones don't have room for a memory card.
Right, yeah.
So, in other words, you get what you pay for. Also, if you're not paying attention to what it's on, and it's all, we're on 7.1, and if you buy a phone that's a 4.4.2, you're not going to be able to get half of the programs either.
So we may, it may be too late for her phone, but it's good to remember that if your phone gets wet, that if you can, you should immediately remove the battery. Because if there's any electricity running through it, at that point, you're going to start oxidizing your circuit board with the impurities that are in the water with an electrical charge across it. And so the... If that's already happened, that'll probably need to be fixed before you can go any farther. Water in itself does not kill electricity, kill electronics, but electricity in water kills electronics. And then the go-to is 90% or higher alcohol. And you can soak your entire equipment in this 90% alcohol, and it's very difficult. You can't find it around here, but you can find it in the States, and you can soak your electronics in 90% alcohol, and then allow. And what that'll do is it will displace the water with alcohol. Alcohol is anti-static, so it won't conduct an electrical charge, and then you can drip dry that, and it'll evaporate away.
What about up in the crystal display?
It's supposed to work for that. It's supposed to not affect that. But this is really, in your case, I mean, well, actually, when you're doing this, it's because the phone's not working.
Well, I told her to take it back to the phone company, not to fool with it. Maybe they can put a substitute battery in and see if they can get it going with a new battery.
Because you think the battery might be bad.
Tried to charge it up. Yeah. Tried to charge it up and it wouldn't charge.
But it's probably a fried charging circuit.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, so it's probably not the battery. It's probably
it up there. Maybe they can get the pictures off of it.
You know what she needs is she needs one of these. She needs somebody like my brother-in-law who does cell repair in Wymas, where she needs somebody to pull it all apart, look for oxidation, clean all moisture out of it, fix any connections that have ended up corroded. That's what she needs if she's hoping to get anything off of the.
What's your brother-in-law's name and location?
Benny Marquez.
Is that Sony's husband?
No, this is Sony's brother.
Benny Marquez.
Marquez, yeah.
Spell it.
Marquez. Marquez.
Yep. And he calls this place the Cellular Hospital. Ed, you've been there, right?
Yeah, he fixed my GPS.
Oh, yeah? For the same kind of problem?
No, just the charging port was... Remember I...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The charging port wasn't working.
Is he near the McDonald's?
The connector and he soldered it up.
Nowhere near the McDonald's. He's deep in Wymas.
Downtown.
Yeah, you go past 20th.
Okay.
There's an appliance store called Electra that's on the left... Almost on the corner of 20th.
Big yellow building.
So you go past all that and find the first street that will take you left and then you take the first street that will take you left off of that, and you, what you're going to be doing is coming up behind that yellow building.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes you back to 20.
Yeah, you're coming back to 20 on a side road behind Electra.
Okay.
And his shop is right before Electra on the right, and there's parking on the left.
But it's behind. Okay.
But it's behind. That's right.
Okay.
And he's really good with that stuff. He's been trained in doing cell repair and so working with microscopic tools.
Oh, really?
So yeah. My smartphone receives call with no problem, but 2 weeks ago started quitting on making calls, and it goes in and out as to whether or not it will make a call. He can fix that.
Maybe.
Sounds
I mean,
like
it depends
don't
on
memory left.
It depends on what's causing that problem.
I'll call T-Mobile because I always get this little notice that my call forwarding is active, and they had me shut off all my call forwarding and powered phone off and on, and it started working again.
Okay.
And 2 days later, it stopped making calls again.
Hey,
in and out.
How is your internet?
Good. Perfect.
Yeah?
No problem.
And where are you having problems making calls? Where are you physically located when you're having
my house where I'm on Infinitum.
On Infinitum.
But I've got the smart switch that goes back and forth between the cell tower and the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So you might just turn that off.
Yeah, that's what I had to do.
Yeah, you may just turn that. You might find that though your internet is working fine, it's not working fine for wireless calling.
Yeah, it's not.
And so you may turn that feature off and just use the cell network.
Okay.
And see if that fixes your problem.
All right.
Yeah. Did you check your memory?
Nope.
How much memory you got left?
Last time I checked it, months ago, it had tons of memory left. I take very few pictures, which uses that memory.
I think because there's so much of this wireless calling going on, and because we've already, Judy's already had an experience with it, we've already found one other person, I've told them the same thing. Now that was through AT&T, but it was,
yeah,
it was definitely the solution. They were having choppy conversations,
yep,
and it was because their phone was automatically using their home network to make the call instead of the cell network.
What happens when the thing comes up and says conditional call forwarding? I don't get that. Sometimes they come up on the phone, and I thought, well, you don't do anything.
I just turned that off.
How do you turn that off?
And still said that.
How do you turn that off?
You go to, on your settings, you go to a thing that just says call, and you go into call, and under call, it's got multiple choices, and two or three of those deal with call forwarding and how to call forward and where to call forward.
Anybody else got an Android phone? I'm curious.
Turn it off.
I want to see if I got it. Under settings.
Under settings?
Yeah.
Okay, just keep going down until you get something. On my phone, it just says the word call, C-A-L-L.
Enable call forwarding between SIMs as well. I've got a dual SIM phone, so that's... So...
I don't see it here. Oh, under call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Click on that. Should have a whole bunch of choices there.
I only have one call.
Call forwarding.
Call rejection, answer ending...
Keep going down.
Ringtones, noise reduction.
If I turn that off, I turn off my...
Calling account settings?
Huh.
Try that. I thought mine... Let's go in there.
Yeah, the only forwarding I've got on my phone is in between SIMs and a dual SIM phone. So, and I can't turn that off or I'm not going to end up with any... Well, have we got any other topics that we'd like to get on to?
What is all caps PUP? Is it good or bad?
PUP?
Yeah.
It's potentially unwanted program.
That was a pup.
Yeah, pup.
It's a puppy.
It's a big puppy.
Is it under answering and ending calls?
Okay, Chester, hold on a second. A PUP is typically identified by some malware scanner.
No, it's not.
What it's identifying is a program that is potentially something that you don't want to have installed. Sometimes it's completely harmless. And the reason it's gotten that qualification is because even though it's harmless and it may have value, it came into your computer without your consent. You... It came into your computer because you were automatically opted into it.
More settings.
Instead of you choosing to install it, it chose to install itself because it was part of something else you were installing it. Many times, it is a piece of software you want out of the computer. But sometimes there's nothing wrong with it except for the method that it got into your computer. Chester.
Yes, with a new computer, I decided that I'm going to get the latest that I can put in it. So I purchased an interest in Microsoft Office.
For the 360?
365.
365 account, okay.
Right. And I'm accustomed to using Outlook.
Okay.
And so I, of course, installed Outlook, and it was awful.
This is so complicated. This is the newest version.
The newest version of Office.
Okay.
And it's just awful. And you can't spell check. You got all these different.
Oh, did you get the other software installed? Did you get Word installed and?
Yeah.
Okay.
Word and Excel and the whole.
Because they should all be using the same spelling dictionary.
They should, but you can't find it. Or at least I couldn't. I've worked with this thing for half a day, and I finally just deleted the program and went back and found my old disk for 2007. So I just wanted to don't waste your money on Office 365.
I think that's one of the problems with the computer software industry is that they're making it very complicated for people who will use that full range. But I use a very small range. I use 2004, and it works just fine for my purpose.
I gotta say, I love the new Office. I think it's easier to use than
Outlook?
7. Yeah, I use Outlook. I mean, I haven't been using it recently because I was using it with a corporate customer. But I'm getting into it right now because I don't understand why it would be considered so complicating.
Is this the 365?
I like 7.
You like 2007? Yeah.
Well, in the Outlook, for example,
2007's the most unusual of them because of the ribbon.
It picked up all 10,000 of my emails. And so I decided, well, you know, I don't need these in Outlook. Of course, 007, you can get rid of them, but yet on Google, they aren't deleted. They're still there.
Well, you can go to settings and fix them.
On this new Office program, Outlook, I started to delete them, and they went off of Google.
So, yeah?
Yeah, I got 10,000 emails sitting there now.
They're reading it, too.
Well, maybe, have you been setting it up as a Google account, an iMappy account, or a POP account?
HTML? Yeah.
Okay, so that would be like a Google account. Well, yeah, that's one of the things that's really nice about the latest version is that it recognizes a Yahoo account, a Google account, a Hotmail account, and it keeps us synchronizing between them.
Right.
So if you do delete those 10,000 messages on Outlook, it is going to delete them on Google Now.
On 07, it doesn't, so I can keep my Outlook clean.
Well, you could also choose to deal with it as a POP account. In the new version, and that would have the same kind of effect.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anyway, be careful. Don't waste your money.
Yes, Ed.
Malware Bytes, is the only thing available besides upgrading is the trial version, or is there some other?
What do you mean?
I downloaded Malware Bytes, but it only gives you like 14-day or 10-day.
Oh, their free version's free forever. Maybe you activated the free trial.
Well, maybe.
That's probably what happened is you activated the free premium trial. But you can run the free version for as long as you want. So I think at the very worst what will happen is in 14 days it will try and sell it to you. And you could probably say no thanks and it would revert you back to the... Yeah. Oh, I was going to say either that or just reinstall it. One thing these programs do. Children, please. The a CCleaner and the Malwarebytes both by default start up when the computer starts up. And personally, I don't like that, because the only reason they hook into your system like that is to be able to feed you promotions of their premium services. And so whenever I use one of these programs, the only reason I use them is after the fact, when I'm trying to solve a problem. And so I go into the menu and I go to their startup options and I pull those out from the software. If you go into CCleaner under startup options, you can take the check mark out of startup with Windows. And the same with Malwarebytes. You can stop it from starting up from Windows. And I think that's a preferred way to do it.
You just remove the software, or do you use something to stop it?
Just you stop it. When you install the software, its default installation is to start itself up when the computer starts up.
Okay.
But with these free versions of these softwares, many times the only reason they've done that is so they can shoot you promotions for their premium product. So if you open up the software and you go into the startup options of the software, there'll be a check mark saying start up with Windows or run when Windows starts up, something of that nature. And you just pull that check mark out and hit OK, and that'll stop it from starting up when the computer starts up.
Great.
What is CCleaner?
CCleaner, it's a really decent program for going through and getting rid of temporary files. It'll find some registry errors as well. And what else? It'll allow you to see everything that's starting up on your computer, so you can disable or remove things from the startup of your computer. It's pretty nice organization.
What about Zooware?
Say that again?
Zooware?
I've never seen Zooware.
That's what I'm using.
You're using Zooware.
I was using PCCleaner before, and I liked it, but on this laptop, I went to recommendations.
I'm going to have to look up Zooware. I've never heard of it. Irving?
Well, I use WiseCare 365, I think it's called.
WiseCare?
Yeah, and it's a very good program. It works at night while your computer's closed. And it's no advertisements. It's got a nominal charge.
But you do pay to use it.
You got to pay to use it. But I've been using it for years, and it catches the... It's very, very
consistent. Okay. Some malware cleaning program recommendations.
That's where the pup
came up was in Zooware. So what would be an interesting experiment for both of you, if you haven't done Malwarebytes? See, we typically will do two different programs, because it seems like one will find things the other wouldn't. And it would be interesting to see if Malwarebytes would find that same...
It hasn't so far, so I don't know what came first.
How do you spell the Zooware?
Apple or Clark.
How do you spell Zooware?
Zooware.
Okay.
I think
Ware?
Yeah.
I just looked it up. It didn't come up with anything.
Maybe it's Zoomware. I'm not on my computer.
It's Zoomware?
Zoom.
Ware?
Yeah.
No.
Take the E off. How about Z-U?
No, it's definitely... I don't know.
Maybe it's a W-H-E-R. Like, where? Where's the
Where
zoo?
Is it Zoom like Z-O-O-M?
It might be Zoom.
Zoom care? I wonder if this is it.
Sometimes Zoom care? Maybe that's it.
Name than what you actually call it when it
no,
puts it
it's
on
neighborhood
it.
Care.
Oh.
But I've got a twist.
Have we got any others? I've got a couple of topics that we could talk about.
Oh boy.
Did you guys see this about Amazon secretly developing a domestic robot?
Yeah.
Amazon is secretly developing a domesticated robot.
On this news this morning, Amazon now can deliver to your car in a parking lot and unlock it.
Yeah, to your trunk.
Now, I saw that and thought, haven't they already done that? They already had that service in one of their cities. They must be rolling it out in various large metropolises now. But that was a thing a couple of years ago. where they would deliver it to your car. It was very specific cars that could enroll because they had to be able to support a remote unlocking feature.
Another thing is Google's come out with study hall buses with Wi-Fi, and Google gave all the kids computers so they can do their homework as home and travel an hour and a half each way.
Wow. Oh, so the bus is a classroom as well.
Yeah, they got a teacher on board. And
nice.
Oh, my, that's cool.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. And it got rid of all the disruption on the bus, because I was a bus driver for a while, and it's pretty nerve-wracking having all 60, 70 kids on a bus.
Right.
So it calmed that whole environment down.
Well, maybe they ought to just leave the buses in that location. It sounds like their school isn't close enough. Google just ought to build them a school.
Yeah.
That's a home problem, because some of them are so rural that their houses don't have functioning
internet.
That's
great.
Oh, okay.
So it gives them that 3 hours a day to, and it won't let you, obviously it won't let you access Facebook, or it'll only access certain programs in the computer.
You guys got lots of interesting topics today.
Got to get up early in the morning.
Is there
I keep a lookup list whenever I hear something that I hadn't heard about. My list is getting really big today.
Speaking of rural, what's going on with internet in rural parts of southern Mexico? Have you heard anything about that?
Nothing
free,
specific.
Free internet or something?
Free internet?
I read that.
Possibly.
What is this you heard?
Yeah, here in Mexico.
Let me see if I can find it for you.
Yeah.
Google.
Google is getting involved in providing internet for rural areas in Mexico.
Yeah, down south.
Well, that's a new one for me too.
Will eventually internet be all satellite based, or is it now satellite based?
That's a difficult question to answer, since we think of internet as this nebulous cloud. I think it would be yes, along with an array of different technologies as well. It seems like you use whatever tool is right for the environment you're in. Mark Zuckerberg was good about reminding Congress that they're building planes. They're drones that broadcast internet over areas that don't have infrastructure. And they just sit up there in the sky and continually fly around providing internet. And so those are a form of satellite, but they're orbiting an area instead of a planet. Cheaper to launch, yeah.
Linda, it's Zook, ZOOKWARE.
Zookware. Zookware.
Yeah, Zoom,
Zoom.
Okay, ZOOKWARE.
Oh, this one says Zook Aware official site. Love you, PC.
Zook Aware?
Yeah. So you
say. AWARE?
Yep.
But that's the one you're using?
That's the one.
Zook Aware, okay. I probably would not have come up with that myself.
Doesn't make any difference.
Oh, Zook Aware Cleaner.
Well, the domesticated robot from Amazon, I imagine it being as annoying as having a child running around. I don't know. I heard some commentators talking about how it would be like having the Amazon Echo on wheels, right? So just follow you from room to room, being ready for you to ask it questions.
Kind of like having a dog.
Right?
Good question. The Echo.
The Echo, yeah.
Is Amazon, right?
Yes.
But you can't just buy the little box. What else do you need for the...
You can buy the box, but you need to be an Amazon customer to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yes, so I don't use trash adapter or just...
Nope.
Because that wasn't clear on the site.
They have a couple of different devices. At least one of them has a battery built into it. So that's something to think about if you're going to move from room to room. Like, we bought the original Echo when they had Amazon Day, so we got a great deal on it. But it's a big cylinder tube that has no battery with it. And immediately my family wanted to be able to take it with them out to the patio or in the kids' bedroom. And so I immediately bought this battery, this rubber battery that couples to the base of it. So now you can unplug it and just take it into the kids love it. Their friends come over and they sit in their bedroom and they ask stupid questions of Amazon. It's just crazy.
My Kindle has Alexa on it for, came with.
Oh yeah, right. And the new Fire TVs have Alexa on it too, where you can ask the same kind of questions. I imagine what this is going to be is it's going to be similar to a Roomba. It may not vacuum, but in the same kind of way it can make its way around the house.
Why would you want a robot in your house if it didn't vacuum?
Because I think that it's going to have a security camera on it.
Oh.
And I think it's going to patrol your house similar to a dog. But it's you're going to be able to ask it questions at a whim. And it's going to be able to tell you what recordings it's got. And maybe even if you've got a Fire TV, it'll be able to you'll be able to tell it to put it on the TV for you to watch.
And it doesn't shed.
And it doesn't shed, right.
So then you don't need the
bathroom. Okay, we found it. Water every day.
What'd you find?
Okay. Google brings free Wi-Fi to Mexico. First stop in Latin America.
Free Wi-Fi to Mexico.
Right. Okay, there'll be free Wi-Fi hotspots across Mexico. They're the third market following India and Indonesia and the first in Latin America.
Well, that's...
Adios.
You know, they have so much incentive to do this. I am just being able to track for marketing sake. All that personal information when you're going through them. I mean, it's no different than us going through Telmex, except it's Google. It's or Comcast, but it's Google that has all this information.
Okay, so this says Mexico has made great strides in connectivity since 2013. Telecom reform intended to loosen the grip of billionaire Carlos Slim's American Mobile, which has long dominated the market.
But you know that Google has had a Wi-Fi phone service forever now. What's it called? Fiphone? Does that sound right? What is the Google's? But this is a way of Google providing phone service to customers without having to sell phone service in a country. They could just be putting these hotspots all over the country and signing people up for phone service. Is it Google Fi? It's only been available so far on their Pixel phones.
So far this free internet only goes as far north as what's the state below us? Jalisco?
Yeah. Sinaloa.
Sinaloa. I think the southern part of Sinaloa, maybe it was Jalisco. I have the wrong state.
That's pretty cool.
Project Fi. Project Fi is the name of it. And if you have a Pixel phone from Google, you're already able to take advantage of it. And it is, you've got a phone number, you've got phone service, it's all integrated into the phone. And the difference is that there is no carrier. It's all happening through your Wi-Fi connections.
Well, that's like, I got a Magic Jack on my Android.
It's exactly like that.
You know, as long as I've got data minutes left, it'll yep. If it rings at my house, it'll ring
mine
on my phone.
Mine
just rang. I love using my Magic Jack.
If you have Magic
yep.
Jack,
yeah.
Which is, internet phone service, then there's an app on the Google Store that gives you that for your phone. And like I say, if I'm not at home and my home phone rings through Magic Jack, it rings on my cell phone.
My problem with Magic Jack occurred at the beginning of the year. I was able to tell people were calling me, and I could pick up voicemail, and I could use it for SMS messages. But every time I went to make a call, it would disconnect me, and every time I went to open a call, it would disconnect me. And the software would crash. And I've uninstalled and reinstalled the software. I've wiped and put my phone back. But it does not want to work on my particular hardware.
Well, have you gone...
And it did. It used to work.
Have you gone on to my.magicjack and see if the phone is registered in there?
Yes. Yeah. It is listed in... And like I said, it used to work. It used to work. And I did. I pursued it all the way back to... And I've not found a solution to it yet. But if anybody else finds a solution to that kind of problem, let me know. Because I want to go back to being able to use magic. And it's great. I mean, I've had secondary authentication where they want to send you a code to a phone number. I'll give them the Magic Jack number, and it'll get texted right to my phone without a problem. But it's that picking up the call. I want to say I can pick up voicemail calls, but now I realize I haven't checked that in a long time. That may have stopped working as well.
What's a Pixel phone?
A Pixel phone is... Pixel is a model name for phones that are made under the name brand Google. And so that's what a Pixel is. It's like saying iPhone, but for Google. And they're the ones that are supporting this Project Fi. And you pay a monthly plan to have a phone number, and it's all about doing Wi-Fi calling.
Like Skype.
Yeah, well, except it's integrated right into the experience. So your dialer is the dialer, and it seamlessly moves between whatever cell phone service you have and whatever Wi-Fi you have. It's just a data phone instead of a cell phone.
Is there a way to get unlimited data on Telcel?
Not that I'm aware of. Have you heard something, James? I know that I told you guys I changed my plan. I'm paying half the price for 10 times the data that I had before. And they had me on an unlimited plan. I could only have up to 800 megabytes. And then they dialed it down to dial-up speed. Hmm. So it was virtually unusable. I could barely use it for anything, and that's what prompted me to change my plan. Yeah, it's it was very frustrating because just pulling up a web page was painful, or getting emails was painful, because emails are heavy things now. They've got graphics in them and things that come along with them. Ew. So I was happy to get on this other plan because the old plan, I wasn't able to make calls to and from the United States. I had a limited number of text messages, and now the plans are like, 8 gigabytes of data, free unlimited calling and texting to and from the United States and Canada. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm paying more than 320 pesos a month for it. Mm. So that's cool.
Yeah, I got an account with them because you get more gigabytes if you get an account versus buying it at OXXO.
Doing the pay as you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Amigo.
The Amigo plans.
So through Telcel?
Yeah, through Telcel's Telcel's the one that I'm on right now.
You have a pay as you go?
No.
No, you got an account.
That's
what I did.
Yeah. I've had an account for years. I just finally got it changed to a more modern plan.
Uh huh.
They won't take American debit cards or American credit cards.
Yeah, they do.
They do now?
Oh, I just paid over at the Telcel store. I bought 6 months. I pay like for 6 months, so I don't have to worry about it.
What's 6 months cost?
I don't know. I just pay ahead so I don't have to pay every month. Well,
My contract, I'm paying something like $320 a month.
Let's see, me Telcel, I'll show you what I got.
It just automatically comes out of your checking account or something?
No, I think we're still going down to the store and paying. I mean, we have reason to be in Wimus often enough that's the way we've been paying it month to month. But,
I have 3 gigabytes.
You have 3 gigabytes? See, I think I have 8 gigabytes.
You have 8?
Yeah.
Of data?
Of data,
and
yeah.
What happens when it goes past 800 megabytes? Does it slow down or?
No, actually, it will. You have, I think it automatically charges me per. I think it's something like 2 centavos every megabyte.
I'm paying $5.47, which is like $25.
I'm paying like $3.20.
And you're getting 8.
Yeah.
I'm only getting 3. Are you sure you're getting 8?
Yeah,
I'm fairly... Because I just went down there and changed my account to get 3. I was only getting 1,000.
We did ours, and I just saw another promotion come by. Did you buy equipment at the same time?
No. Did you buy a phone?
No.
No.
No. Yeah, my last bill was 311 pesos, 99 cents.
And you get eight gigabytes.
And I'm getting, yeah, it's the 8,000 plan, the Sin Limitos 8,000.
Why am I not getting it? Did you go home?
I don't know. I'd go ask about it, though. Oh, maybe I got, because they do the shady, you know, DirecTV model of dealing with their customers. I've had a contract forever, and I've been on an ancient contract forever, and so they may have given me some special promo they're not giving you.
Well, I had 1,000, and I went down there, and then they made me pay like a $20 service fee for changing it to 3,000, and that's all I got was 3,000 on it, so I'm paying 547.
So they didn't make me pay any service fee, but
really?
I did have to finish paying. I mean, I had to pay for that month because we were making the change in the middle of the month. So I did have to finish that month's contract,
yeah,
which makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking back through the offers they gave me. And I'm trying to get back to the one that we followed. Because it seems like we followed it. And we did it all over the phone. Like, we called the 800 number.
Well, I don't speak Spanish. Going to be a problem.
Well, that's what that extra 200 pesos.
I went down there to tell someone. That's when I did this.
If you ask for an English speaker, they'll get you one. I called the 800 number. Let's tell Mexico I did that with. So.
I'm trying to get back to where we did this. I'm looking back through all these old messages. Because one thing that drives me crazy is they're marketing to me every day or every 2 days. They send me some, oh, get a new phone. Oh, upgrade your plan. Okay.
Well, I was thinking about getting my phone from them next time rather than just buying it off the internet.
Well, they've got some pretty decent deals.
The only thing is I noticed by me having this phone, I don't get as much advertising. Some people would have...
I'm getting lots of text messages from Telmex trying to sell me more stuff.
Yeah, I don't get that many text messages.
I don't think I was getting anywhere near this many text messages before I changed my plan. But, like, here they're offering an iPhone 8 with 64 gigabytes of storage for 350 pesos a month with a Sin Limitas plan of 6,000.
Okay, look at this one.
Oh, in fact, they're offering 2-for-1. That was back in March.
Look at this one that I got.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is renew your plan for up to 7, 8, or 9 with double megas. For 200 pesos... Yeah, I'm not sure if this is saying that you get a 200 peso discount. Maybe you do.
Well, maybe you should go down there.
Maybe because that would bring you down to the kind of prices I'm paying. That 200 peso, if that's a 200 peso discount.
Well, maybe I should go down there.
I don't know. It's incredibly cheap. I think it's got to be the effect of having AT&T in the market that has dropped these rates really low.
Well, maybe I should take this down there because I'm going to be paying. I'm paying too much then. $547.
Well, you can definitely get it cheaper monthly, or at least you know somebody that's getting it cheaper monthly. Well, and it seems like I
don't really need 7, 8, or 9. I mean, 3,000 is actually right now more than I need. But I was going over my limit at 1,000.
I figured out when we did this, I can't remember what the additional gigabytes cost, but mm-hmm. It seemed like I figured out that I could have almost twice as much data in that month for the same price I had previously been paying.
You don't have a family plan, because they don't have a family plan.
They don't have a
family
plan.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, they don't.
Okay.
They don't do anything like that.
Okay.
But, you know, one of the disadvantages is that paying your account. Like, I can't go into OXO and pay my account.
Oh, but I just go pay 6 months at a time, then I don't have to worry about it, and I feel, I watch it when it gets down, I go put more money on it.
That's a way to deal with it, yeah.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Yes. Irving, yes.
So, in Homer, Alaska, I used to have a phone line, and somehow I got, that phone line was taken away from me through some clerical error.
Okay.
So now I have to use my internet over the campground internet. So, is there a satellite service, or what would you suggest to get good internet service? The local supplier, by the way, is not good.
Well, if your satellite's not good, I mean, satellite is an example of there's no other option. You're in a rural area, and there's no other form of broadband being brought to you.
Okay. So now I have a couple of antennas, a little thing. Linda, do you know the name of our booster that we have? The little booster with the two rabbit ears?
Yeah, you know which one it is? Well, they changed the name now.
But anyway, is there a really high-end booster that does more than another booster?
I don't have one to recommend. You're looking at Wi-Fi devices? Is that what you're talking about?
I think if you used my amped wireless one, that's 10,000 feet or more, that it would be better than that little Alpha. Alpha.
Alpha is the name
of
it?
Yeah, I think they were called Alpha, weren't they?
Oh, the ones we're using?
Yeah.
It seems like...
I think if you got that big one I have, that amped wireless, it would be a lot better. Uh-huh. That's what I have my TV on.
Okay.
I think Hawkings is a name that you could look at for long range Wi-Fi.
Hawking.
You know, Hawking, yeah. I haven't thought about it in a long time, but it seems like that was one that built a reputation for see you later. Okay. Hawking Wi-Fi antenna booster. Wi-Fi booster. Hawking Wi-Fi booster. Hawking Technologies. So they built a good reputation for building range extender equipment that worked really well. But I don't actually have a recommendation for that kind of stuff. Cool. Well, I'm going to bring this to an end since everybody's meandering out of our meeting.
Without permission, no less.
Yes. That's okay. Nobody needs permission to leave. I was going to talk about Google's AR microscope that can detect cancer, but maybe we'll save that for next week.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
You want to talk about Bitcoin? Come back next week. We'll talk about Bitcoin. We'll talk about how Ars Technica had an article this morning about being able to take bitcoins out of, or take encryption keys from air-gapped wallets. The researchers have figured out how to, I mean, it's using the same air-gapped techniques as before, but now they're applying it to getting into wallets. And an air-gapped computer just means it has no formal connection to a network. Mm. It's like you've taken all its antennas away, we've taken all its network service away. It's a standalone piece of equipment sitting over in the corner. And this particular university, this group, has a reputation of figuring out how to get data out of air-gapped computers. And they do things like, they've done interesting stuff with electromagnetic interference coming off of the keyboard or coming off the screen. And it seems like this particular hack required using... Oh, they did it across a Raspberry Pi, which I didn't think really meant anything until I read, well, that's what people are saying would make a great wallet, is the Raspberry Pi computer. So I looked into it a little bit, and apparently there's a bunch of Raspberry Pi projects out there being billed as the Bitcoin wallet, right? And so you'd have a device like smaller than a cell phone that you would consider to be your Bitcoin wallet, and the basis of it is a Raspberry Pi. So this particular hack uses two pins off of each, these two pins you normally hook wires to, to make like a servo move, use that as an antenna, and uses the a headset. Not necessary. It said in the article, not necessary, but to amplify the signal, you of like because your compromiser, the equipment you're using to get the information, can be a cell phone, plugging in an audio jack, a set of regular like earbuds, that can be used to amplify the signal that you're using to grab the encryption keys off of the Raspberry Pi that's air gapped from the network. So they've done some pretty impressive stuff. Opening up a whole new element of compromise. That is easier than getting your wallet out of your pocket. Probably in the end, when they got it dialed into a process, then you don't have to risk reaching over and grabbing your wallet.
So the purpose of the extender is just to get you closer to the source. Is that it? Or get more signal from the source? Is that accurate?
Most extenders are not guaranteeing some boost of source, but just more distance from the source.
Yes, I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering, if I'm really, if I can improve it no matter what I do.
Yeah, if the problem is the quality of signal you're getting, like the speed isn't the issue, but there's errors that are causing the problem.
Well, there are times you drop off because of maybe they have is on the office. They have a distribution, and we're not far from the office. But at times the signal is weak, or you drop off.
So dropping off would be what would be addressed by an extender.
Okay.
But what an extender also typically will do is you'll end up with half the speed.
Okay.
And so say they've got 10 in the office, on the other side of the extender, you may have a great connection that doesn't drop, but you're getting 5.
Okay. So can you... Is the best extender at the same distance that covers the distance any better than the worst extender?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why like Hawking's has been able to build a little bit of a reputation for themselves. I mean, there are better extenders.
That handle the signals better, more efficient, better.
It may not play in what you're trying to do. Having a faster, a more powerful chipset means that it can handle more activity across it.
Okay.
Kind of like a computer can run more applications with a faster chipset.
I'll give it a try. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. What you might find your solution to be is to have one solid connection to the Wi-Fi, and then bring that down to a local network. Like a mobile home you're in?
No, we're in the trailer park.
In a trailer park. Okay, yeah. So in the trailer that you're in, you might find that the solution is an extender with an antenna, and that's your link to the office.
Okay, eliminate interference in the body of the trailer. That's a good idea.
And then bring that connection down to a local Wi-Fi for your trailer.
Uh-huh.
So all your devices connect to that local Wi-Fi, and that local Wi-Fi goes through this one connection to...
Which communicates with the main antenna.
That's right. That's right. You might find that's the best kind of solution.
Okay, I'll try to figure it out. Okay. Only because I spent 3-4 hours a day on computer, newspapers, information, all kinds of... your brain's like a sieve. It goes in, and who knows where it stays.
Right.
Okay, thanks, Scott. You have a good day.
You're welcome. You too. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
All right. This is the countdown month. I am gone at the end of this May, back up to Alaska, and leaving you guys here in the heat.
No, I'll precede you in Alaska. I'll be up there in the middle of May.
Oh, awesome. There you go.
Actually, I'll get there at May 23rd. I'm flying in. We'll be there till September. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, we spend every summer up there, but it'll be our 29th summer.
See, you figured it out. That's what I do. I'll be there from the 1st of June until the end of September.
You're going to be working. I'm going to be playing.
Yeah, well, you have definitely got it figured out.
Yeah, all you have to do is live long, right?
That's right.
Okay.
We'll see you, Irving.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Well, this has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. If you found this helpful or useful in any way and you're interested in more of this, check us out at sccclub.org. If you have computer issues anywhere on the Internet, I'd appreciate you giving me a call. I'm hoping I can help you. You can get a hold of me locally at 226-0209. That's our office. Or send me an email, scott@internationalcs.net, or check out our website at internationalcs.net. Thanks for your attention. We'll talk to you next week. Until then, tech on.
Okay, so you call me tomorrow.
Turn that off. Turn that off. Turn this off.